Welcome back to another episode of Lumber Chats, Inside NAU, where we give you an inside look into life as a lumberjack.
So today's podcast is all about Earth Day and celebrating our favorite spots in Arizona. So with so many of them and so many in our backyard, we're going to talk about our favorites and share tips for going and also tips for making sure we keep everything as clean as we found it. So Carrington, what's your favorite spot?
So my favorite spot in Flag is Lake Mary. And it's mostly because that was the first place that I went to, like the first, I guess, outing, like big outing I had in Flag as a freshman. And me and my friends went and we brought snacks and we just talked and watched the sunset. And it was just a really big bonding moment for us. And like, That was the event that like sealed the deal for our friendship. And that was just the place we would go when we just wanted to get out of our rooms, just to get out. And it's a beautiful drive up there. And there's different like spots you can park depending on if you want to look at the actual lake or if you want to look at the trees. And it's also really fun to go after it snows because the lake is frozen and you can like, I've seen people ice skate. I'm not that brave, but just like seeing how it just looks beautiful and you can kind of walk on it, like walk on the shallow end if you want, or you can go on the deep end or whatever floats your boat, but it's really beautiful. And it's just, I love the place.
I've seen those pictures too. And I always want to be like, oh, it's on my bucket. Let's just check it out sometime while it's frozen. And I also think Lake Mary is really cool. Just in summertime, there's so much activity going on out there. They have, you know, stand-up paddle, and I've seen lots of people like doing it with their dogs. And I just think that's so fun. And when I like first went to Lake Mary, I didn't even like think of things like that. I was just like, oh, this is a pretty place. And then I was like, oh my gosh, if there's like so much water activity on the lake. What about you guys? Any favorite memories from Lake Mary?
I like to go stargaze there and do astrophotography. I can't think of a place more gentle, quiet, and beautiful. The water sometimes is so clear that I can see the stars, the planets, the Milky Way reflect on it, and it's well worth it every time.
See, I've always wanted to try astrophotography out there, but I am not brave enough to go out there at night because it is really dark. And I don't think anybody would want to come with me because it is super scary. I just recently bought one of those tree-to-tree hammocks and I took it out there like a weekend ago. And that was nice to just read in the hammock and watch the lake.
I feel like Lake Mary is always full of surprises, from seeing dogs on the tip of boats as they glide by, to seeing all sorts of fun things people do in the water. And even this summer, I discovered that there's crawdads there. They were on the shores.
And you never know what wildlife you might see. We took our dogs there and we walked around the other side. And then Dixie heard a noise and she like darted up the like hill area to like the meadow. And there were like all these like moose. And I was just like, uh-oh, I hope she comes back because I don't know what's gonna happen. And I just remember being like so scared, but then really happy. As for going out there and, you know, kind of just like making it a day, do you have any tips for things to bring?
I think it would depend on what time you go. If you go during the day, I would just bring snacks, bring water, depending on if you wanna sit in one of the dirt lots they have or even one of the parking lots that they have and just watch. That's always fun. If you go at night, I definitely would not go by yourself at night. I would definitely bring a flashlight. So if you do get out and like walk around, you can see where you're going because it does get pretty dark up there.
It's a really nice place to watch the sunset too. My roommate and I like to pick up acai bowls and speed over about 30 minutes before sunset just to watch and enjoy while we eat.
I'd say always bring a friend. or someone. It's a great place to just talk and reflect or just enjoy the views.
And my tip would be also to look up information about it before you go, because in Flagstaff, depending on what season you go, like Lower Lake Mary and Upper Lake Mary, you could be like, wait, is this it? I remember when I first went to Flagstaff, I'm like, this doesn't look like a lake, but it was because I haven't driven far enough. But yeah, just know what to look for. What about you, Carla? What is your favorite place?
So my favorite place in Arizona would probably be Sedona, with the Edge of the World campsite being an honorable mention. They're not in the same place at all, but that place is really pretty because it really does look like you're sitting at the edge of the world. But Sedona would probably be my favorite place, just because being from Lake Havasu and also having a love for Flagstaff, it's kind of the perfect in between, being deserty but also having a lot of trees and the creek. So it does kind of serve as a good in between. And I really enjoy going with friends. It's really beautiful.
I think Sedona is also really great because you don't realize how close it is, but like in winter in Flag, you could just drive down the hill and like 30 to 45 minutes later, you're like, it's so much warmer. And you know, you can comfortably be outside and do nature things where you might still be like bundled up in Flag.
That, and it's really pretty in the winter too. Just the white snow contrasting with the red rocks is just beautiful.
What's your favorite memory from Sedona?
So I think I have two favorite, maybe three. I really like going to Sedona, but my first time going to Sedona was a trip with two of my brothers. We went to the Grand Canyon, and then we went to Flagstaff and then drove to Sedona and kind of just explored. We went to an art museum and then went for a hike, took a lot of pictures. It was a really long, like 2-day trip, but we had a lot of fun exploring. Then my second favorite memory would probably be the time that I went to do a photo shoot for one of my graduating seniors. I didn't know where we were going, but my client's mom really wanted to shoot at Bell Rock. And that was one of the hikes that I'd never done. So I didn't realize that it was going to be a hike. So I wore strappy sandals and wasn't really prepared, but it was a lot of fun and the views were great. They made for really good pictures, and now I go to Bell Rock a lot. And then my third favorite memory would be last summer when COVID hit. My friends and I weren't really sure where to go for hiking, because we first went to Bell Rock and it was closed, so we kind of found one that we had never heard of, and it was really, really long. We didn't know that. We thought it would be like one where you keep going and it ends up somewhere else, and that'd be the ending, like it went in a circle, but it didn't. So we ended up walking for like 5 hours that way, and then finding out that there was no end, we kind of had to go back. So that was another 5 hours, and we were kind of there forever, and my friend really was struggling because it was downhill there and then uphill back. So she was under the impression that we would need to get her airlifted out, but we didn't. Made it, and it was a fun day, and I don't think we'll ever do that hike again, but it was a really fun experience because we took a little dip in the creek and then worked our way back.
And what was the name of that hike?
I can't remember. Well, we didn't want to remember. We left and we're like, I don't think we'll ever do that again.
So Sedona is one of those places I feel like as a lumberjack, you can go and it's, you know, you can enjoy it during, you know, the off season, but like summertime and peak when everyone is going up there for the creek, it can get really busy. And, you know, there's a lot of trash and things left there. Can you talk about your experiences in that and like what advice you have for people wanting to visit?
So like you said, it does get really, really busy in the summer. I think that time that we were there, there were cars lined up all the way through Sedona because people were parking up above to like walk down to the creek. So the trail that we found was very, very hidden, and the creek part that it ended up at was really far away from where everybody else was. So you know what, maybe I would suggest doing a super hidden hard hike. But in terms of like keeping it clean and stuff, we had backpacks with us, we had a lot of water with us, we had snacks in our backpack, but I kept my trash in my backpack and then just dumped it when I got home, just to make sure that I wasn't leaving it around. But yeah, I would say just be prepared to see a lot of people, be prepared to drive on a narrow road, and just be careful because there will be a lot of people around just crossing the street trying to get down to the creek. So just be mindful of that.
I'd agree. My tip would be to start out really early in the day, so you either have a parking spot at the actual site or like one of the closest from the road, because yes, it can get scary trying to maneuver even just driving on it, but then like there's people and walking. But definitely do that. But I agree with you, there's some hidden hikes that I've done just coming down from Flag and stopping, and then the like right off the road, basically they're like really really high elevation game, like switchbacks, so I think it only takes like 30 minutes, but like it's like 1,000 or more elevation gain, and then you're at the top like looking down. So I just remember like doing those and being like, wow, we could actually park here, but the end, and it's only like, you know, 3/4 of a mile hike, so this is good, it's gonna be fun. But then like you forget that it's all up and you're like, oh my gosh. So it was a nice little treat when you get to the top and see the views and you're like, okay, this is what I imagined. About Austin and Carrington, do you have any memories you'd like to share?
Well, I have so many memories because I feel like Sedona offers a little bit of everything for everyone. There are easy trails, hard trails, even scenic views like the airport view, Airport Mesa view. There's shopping centers, restaurants, but I'd say I have memories ranging from hiking with my friends as a freshman to going to slightly easier trails with like my grandparents and my little cousins. It's a great place.
I've always loved Sedona for shopping and the creek, especially before COVID. Like me and my friends, whenever it was a great weekend, a nice sunny weekend, we'd always be like, okay, we're gonna go to the creek. But like the tips that you guys gave about getting there early and just being prepared for there to be a lot of people, especially over summer, that is absolutely true. It gets really crowded. If I were to add any tips, I would definitely say bring sunscreen, because I had a friend who didn't, and that was a whole bad situation. She like applied it too late and it just made it worse. So bring sunscreen, and also wear sturdy shoes while you're going down to the creek, because that's also been a problem before, and we've had a lot of twisted ankles because people were wearing flip-flops instead of shoes. Sunscreen, shoes, bring a lot of water, especially if you plan on staying all day. And yeah, it's a great way to meet new people.
Okay, so we've all mentioned the creek, but my last question is, do you have a favorite spot on the creek?
Honestly, I don't like a whole lot of people. So if there's ever a spot where usually there's a lot of people, but if there's one spot where there's a whole lot of people and there's another spot where there's like not. So we usually pick the not so packed part. It's a chill, more calm environment. So it just depends on what you want. If you want to be like in the crowds and like hang out with a whole bunch of people, then that's cool. But also if you want a more chill vibe, there's also spots for that too. You just got to find them.
Yeah, I would say the same as Carrington. Like the other times that I had been there, it would be packed and I would hate it because I'd get like overwhelmed. And that time that we hiked and ended up at that sweet spot, there was nobody. Nobody was there, and it was just nice to relax. And yeah, it felt nice to just have the area to ourselves.
When it comes to the creek, let's not forget that there are some beautiful trails out there in Oak Creek Canyon. For example, West Fork, which is probably one of the most beautiful trails in all of Arizona. great views and gives you another experience with the creek that a lot of people often overlook, the adventure. But my tip for people is to weigh your options. Sedona's huge. There's so many different spots, so many different trails. Just because it might not have the biggest social media following or presence on Instagram doesn't mean it's not going to be a great time. Over the last summer, I saw that West Fork was pretty full, and so were the other popular ones. But I was able to find a beautiful trail that was a little bit further out and never had to wait for parking, or it was never felt full at any point. It was great to enjoy it.
Okay, so you brought up a really good point that people talk about when people Instagram places and, you know, kind of blow it up. How do you guys feel about that? Because I think, like, it's really important to share places, you know, to be like, hey, this does exist, but then also to do it in a responsible way to make sure that it's well maintained. What are your thoughts on?
The selfish part of me likes to gatekeep nice areas because, you know, like I said, I do like it when nice areas are normally secluded without many people, but it is nice to share some pretty places with people. So I don't know, in terms of being safe about it, I would say that actually a lot of people are now mindful of these places and taking care of national parks and such, but I'm not sure what tips I would give.
I think I've noticed more that more accounts who are more like the adventure lifestyle, they share it, but then they also make sure to do like a disclaimer or a responsibility, like, you know, please, if you do come here, please don't make it a party scene. This is nature. Make sure you're using it for that purpose.
No, you're totally right. I think I've seen a lot of TikToks too that highlight specific areas, but then they add that disclaimer stating that, hey, they're like, people do live here. Yeah. So it's important to be mindful of that and like to take care of the areas that you're in.
I know that some places have signs, which I think is helpful. They'll be like, wildlife lives here, or it'll be like, don't feed the animals. So I think those are definitely signs that you would want to pay attention to because they're obviously there for a reason. And I do also agree with Carla. I am also selfish when it comes to the little places that I find, just because I feel like nature is so beautiful, and kind of the point or something that does make it beautiful is that it's quiet and it's where you can go to just get away from all the craziness. So I would definitely say it's worth taking care of it because you do get something out of it in the long run.
I think there is a negative side to that sort of traveling influencer culture and social media hotspots. For example, Devil's Bridge, its experience might be slightly lesser since it's touted as this beautiful adventure with a scenic view, but in all reality, you might be waiting in line for your turn to take a picture at the bridge, which might go against the reality that a lot of people think it might be. And I think, especially with COVID, with people wanting to get out and go see places, this is becoming more apparent in spots across Arizona. And sometimes this means there could be more pollution or heavy traffic might take a toll on the landscape. But on a more positive note, it might lead to more people discovering things or local communities benefiting from the tourism. And
yeah, I agree. Do you guys know Keep Nature Wild?
I haven't heard of that.
They make nature apparel and stickers and things like that. But so they do that too, but then they also organize like hikes and cleanups. So then they'll go to one of the spots and all of their volunteers will come and they'll do the hike together and then pick up trash that whole day. So it's celebrating both. And, you know, it's just nice to see when people do have responsibility like that and are being good stewards of the environment. So back to you, Austin. What is your favorite place in Arizona?
My favorite spot is hands down Locket Meadow, which is located in the heart of Flagstaff San Francisco Peaks.
Why is it your favorite, and what's your favorite memory from it?
I have to be blunt. Locket Meadow is a very beautiful spot. Maybe even the most beautiful in Arizona. I personally vouch for that. The actual meadow offers a picturesque view of the San Francisco Peaks, and it's like honestly one of my favorite landscape shots there is in Arizona. And sometimes even wildflowers bloom, and they bring with it a plethora of like very vibrant colors that just kind of light up the landscape. Once you reach the Inner Basin Trail, you find yourself surrounded by a sea of aspen trees, which makes fall here otherworldly, as you just see yellow everywhere. My favorite memory has to be when I visited as a sophomore with my friend Yuri. We spontaneously decided on a school day that we would head there before all the leaves fell. I was immediately mesmerized by the fall sights of the golden aspen trees, so much so that I shifted my favorite color to the yellow that we associate with NAU, even to this day. I had never seen anything like it in my life. I think in that moment, I realized that I had truly taken advantage of going to school here in Northern Arizona for the nature aspect, the landscapes, the difference from the valley.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I saw a picture of Locket Meadow once, and I was just like, where is this place? Like, not realizing that it was in Arizona, or actually in Flagstaff, just because of all the fall colors. It's typically, you know, when I first thought of Arizona, I didn't think of where NAU is and the mountains and all of that. So it came as a total shock.
Another thing that makes it so spectacular, I learned, was that the higher elevation means a different type of weather. Even though we had gone there in October, it started snowing halfway through. So not only did we see the yellow aspens, but the peaks were being caked in snow. And as we headed back to our car, we were treated with the sunset that gave off rich colors across the spectrum, from reds to yellows to oranges to blues. And they kind of shined off of the peaks. They glowed, it radiated. I took a picture there, and I cherish that photo to this day. Yeah, that's probably my favorite memory there. I've been there multiple times in the winter, earlier in the summer on clearer weather, in the fall.
Awesome. What about you guys? Do you have any favorite stories from there?
I did an elopement photo shoot up there once, and it was awful because we had, like, yeah, don't get me wrong, it's beautiful. It's so worth the view, but not when, okay, so it was cloudy, and we were like, oh, this is gonna be so good for like the pictures, because, you know, clouds are really good. But when we were driving down, it's really narrow, and it started raining, and then we came across a bunch of vehicles that were trying to go up, and it was really hard to just see everything and be careful when going back down, because it did start to rain, so it was a little bit scary. I'm just glad I wasn't the one driving, so it wasn't that bad. But it was, we should have checked the weather before going. We also weren't expecting it to be that far out, because it was a first time for all of us. But don't get those views, it's really pretty, so just check the weather before you go.
And know that you should have a car for it, because a lot of people come up, especially from Phoenix, thinking that they could just go there. But like, it's definitely easier if you have a four-wheel drive, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And sometimes you even need chains at certain times of the year.
Thankfully, when the weather gets more wintry and less, let's say, cooperative, they close it down. They close off the road so you can't access it. I do have a few tips for people, since I've gone there multiple times, that I could share. Definitely plan ahead. Go there around the break of dawn, because that's when you can beat all the traffic and safely and confidently go up that long and narrow road, which you definitely might need a little clearance if you want to feel more comfortable. And you could get to the parking lot Even though I arrived there around 6 a.m., the parking lot was almost full. So if it's like that in the morning, it is much worse later in the day, even if the views are much better. And
so
then,
what if you have a car that's just like a Civic? Is that something where you can like go to the parking lot and then like hike it up? If that's what?
Unfortunately, you have to take that long and narrow path. It winds up a mountain to get to the parking lot. I've seen people park almost like a few miles away down the mountain and walk up there. That's how bad they want to get in there. And I think anything you can make it, as long as you drive safe. I've been surprised by the cars I've seen in the parking lot, from Priuses to other small cars. It's possible.
No, that's so true, because I remember being astonished, because I was surprised that the drive was the way it was. But I got up there and saw like these broken down little cars, like not broken down, but like they were like close near it, you know. And I was like, how did you even make it up here? Like, but yeah, you could do it. I would say just have decent tires, because I feel like a lot of people that do live in Flagstaff that have like small cars do have decent tires, so I don't think it would be an issue going up there.
I would say, yeah, I have definitely, my friend came to visit and she wanted to go up there, but I didn't have my car at the time. And I told her, I was like, the drive is pretty intense. I don't think your car is gonna make it up there. And she had a Toyota Camry at the time, and we were fine. It was a little scary, but she did it and we made it up. So it's definitely possible. You just have to be careful.
I do have one final tip that extends beyond what car you use. Make sure to bring warm clothing. I went on a warm day in early October, and I quickly found that not only because it's at a higher elevation, but those aspen trees there's so many of them that they block the sun out, and it is so cold underneath them. So definitely prepare for it to be a little chilly at some parts.
That's a very good tip. That goes into my favorite place. I chose Mount Humphrey, because just it's the tallest point in Arizona, and I still can't believe I did that. It's just so pretty, and especially if you go during summertime, like you get to see all the different wildflowers, and it's so green and lush. And it really is just kind of like a whole trek, because like you do the hike and you're like, yeah, I got this, it's foresty. And then like all of a sudden you're like, see the mountain part, and there's like the lava rocks, and you're just like, ah, okay, when does this end? But getting to the top and getting a picture with the sign is always really, really fun. But again, it's so much higher, so it is cold. So like you definitely need to pack. I remember I didn't bring enough clothes, and I was just like, I'm so cold. And then like it was one of those monsoon days, and then you see the clouds and the lightning far off, and you're like, gotta get down. And so like it was a race for everyone to get down. But even if you just choose to like go up and do a hike around that area, or take the ski lift up to the top to see the views, definitely pack some jackets for when you get to the top.
I heard a rumor from someone that you could see the Grand Canyon from Humphrey's Peak. Is that true?
I've heard that too, but it has to be like super, super clear.
Ah.
We'll have to see. Someone will have to hike it again and tell us.
I definitely feel like it's on every lumberjack's checklist to climb Mount Humphreys.
That was actually never something on my list. I heard it was tough. So that's never been something that I've wanted to do. Like, yeah, I'm going to go climb Mount Humphreys. But it looks really pretty in pictures.
The bragging rights.
I agree that too. It was definitely tough. I read a wrong thing and thought it would be like 4.5 hours, and it like takes 8 to 10. And so you definitely need to be prepared. But I think it's more that like when someone else like challenges you, they're like, oh, it might be too hard for you. And then you're like, I can't do it. And also when you're younger, you think you can like do everything. So as we close out our Earth Day celebration, are there any messages, you know, that you hold important about Earth Day and sustainability that you'd like to share?
This has been instilled in my brain since elementary school, but always remember the three R's. I've been recycling stuff for years, and you know what? It really does make a difference. So always reduce, reuse, and recycle.
I'm going to go with that too, because whenever I see something that should be in the recycling container, it's not, it drives me nuts. It's just like, it's not that hard. Just get a different container, you know, save it and do your little bit to help the environment. Yeah, that, and then just always like keeping everything clean. So many times you go outside, even just like the park, your local park, and you see trash and litter. And so just take care of what you bring and pick up stuff if you see it.
Yeah, building on that, I think if you provide for the earth, she will provide for you life, views, a home. I think we should try our best to keep it as beautiful and enjoyable for generations to come. I know for a fact that there are places that just don't look the same as when my parents had visited them due to just decades of things that happened. What I want to close out on is just don't litter and don't deface trails, landmarks, and parks.
Kind of going off what Austin said, I feel like some people think that defacing trails and doing all that is funny. And it's honestly, it's really not. It's kind of sad because these things are here to create beauty, and by you ruining it, you're taking the beauty away, and or you're taking the opportunity to for someone to see something because you want to be funny or try and be funny. And I would also just say that we have one world. Like, there's no, once we mess this one up, like, that's it. There's only one. We can't take it back. So treat it well now so it lasts.
And I think that's the best way to close out.
So happy Earth Day, Jax. And as you enjoy these places, we ask you to take only memories and leave only footprints.